You know, something that is crucial to in a season of waiting where we trust God for something like healing is to see as God sees. Because we have limited understanding. We see in part, but God sees everything. He sees generations. He sees our children and their children and their children. And He understands and knows everything. And if we can get onto His wavelength, we will receive strength. You know, and the first thing I wanna say that God clearly showed me is the length of time that we have waited for something, or the length of time a problem has existed, does not determine the likelihood of breakthrough. What does that mean? I'm waiting for 10 years. Somebody else has been waiting for 6 months. We've got the exact same problem. Okay? The likelihood of me waiting for 10 years compared to the person waiting for 6 months, it's not smaller. The likelihood of breakthrough does not grow smaller and smaller when you wait longer. Not in the kingdom of God. Maybe in the medical world, maybe in the natural world, I understand, yes, it can go smaller. But in the kingdom of God, God is not limited or intimidated by a length of time that we have waited. And I've experienced it with my skin. Andre mentioned my skin. I was diagnosed with psoriasis at the age of 10. And I tried everything. It's a skin disease where your skin cells multiply 6 times faster than what it should. So on the outer layer of your skin, there appear these red sore patches. It's itchy. It's burning. It looks horrible. It's interesting that when you read Leviticus, I know all of you know everything about Leviticus. You study Leviticus. They say there were 21 skin diseases in the Old Testament that they sometimes they confused it with leprosy. So psoriasis was one of those 21 diseases that sometimes they had to test in the Old Testament. Is this leprosy or not? So at its worst, it can look really bad. It can be very sore. It influences your whole life. And I tried many things in the natural and in the spiritual. I even in 1999 asked Andre and a friend to go and baptize me in a dam in Stellenbosch, because I read the story in the Old Testament of Naaman, who he had leprosy, and the prophet said, go and baptize yourself in the river. And I thought, this is my breakthrough. And I had faith. I fasted for 7 days. They went, baptized me, and, you know, we had such an expectation that my skin is going to be clear when I get out of the dam, and it wasn't. And I tried so many things. I stepped out so many times in my life, but it was only in 2012, 26 years later. It was a very normal Wednesday evening. In fact, the evening Andre referred to as the level zero and the nothing happened and we all got it wrong, that night when it seemed as if nothing happened, about 15 ladies, they prayed for me. They just loved me in a season where my skin was very bad. And it seemed as if nothing happened. And 3 weeks later, my skin was 98% clear. And the beauty was that my mom visited in that time when my skin was so bad. And when I phoned her and I said, Mom, my skin is clear, she said, it has never happened like that in 26 years. So one of the words God has given me, that this will be for His glory. And it is just incredible how God has used this. But it was 26 years. And I trusted Him for so long, and I've responded to so many opportunities for prayer, but there wasn't a appointed time for my healing, I believe. And I just want to encourage you this morning that there's an appointed time. I really believe it with all of my heart. If we wait upon God, because we can wait, or we can wait upon God, and even if it takes years, I just want to encourage you to not give up hope. Because your moment can be today, like it was my moment on that Wednesday night, to be healed. And since that time, which is really, it obviously always when there's a healing, we have that fear, what if it comes back? I don't know if you've ever battled with that. That was one of my biggest fears. Lord, what if I tell the whole world that I'm healed? I'm a very left-brained person, so I love to be factually correct. And I say to God, what if I give my testimony? What if I share with the whole world about my healing? And then he comes back, and you know, God just gave me this following answer. Sonika, if I can take it away once, don't you believe that I can take it away twice, even if it comes back? You know, and it gave me so much peace. And yes, I had spots returning. I have even a few spots on my elbows currently. But the beauty of my healing is that it covered a big portion, I would say, between 80 and 90% of my body for most of my life. It goes through cycles. But the spots that have returned in the last 7 years is basically 1% of my surface of my body. This, your palm of your hand is 1%. This is how a doctor explained it to me. This is what has come and gone in the last 7 years. So for all practical reasons, I am healed. God has done something in me miraculously, and I just want to encourage you that the length of time, God is not intimidated by something that you've trusted him for a long time. And another question I want to ask you is, what if we are waiting for something greater? What if we are waiting for something greater than a healing, than a spouse? You know, Andre and I are trusting God for another child. This is one thing we are standing in faith for. My son is now 10. He's our biggest, biggest joy. I'm so extremely thankful for him. But we've been trusting God for another child now for 9 years. And it is an interesting journey because there's a monthly expectation and a monthly disappointment. And I've just been challenged with this question the last while. What if I'm waiting for something greater? You know, Hannah was praying for a baby. God was dreaming about Samuel, one of the greatest prophets of all time, who was going to anoint King David. The Bible says the revelation was the spiritual revelation, the word of God was rare in that time when Samuel was born. So Hannah was hoping for a baby. God had so much bigger in mind. You know, Elizabeth was asking for a baby. And God was dreaming about John the Baptist, who's going to prepare the way for Jesus. And yes, she did wait. And yes, it must have been a struggle. But what if you are waiting for something greater? What if you're waiting for something greater than a spouse? You know that your marriage is not just going to be an average marriage. It's going to be a heavenly partnership where you're going to do great damage to the kingdom of darkness. You're going to be one. You're going to be a team. You're going to conquer land for Jesus. You're going to do great things as a couple. So what if you're waiting for something greater than a spouse? What if you're waiting for something greater than a healing? You know, what if your healing is going to be such a story, such a testimony, such a beautiful declaration of God's goodness? What if your healing will lead people to Jesus? What if your healing will restore relationships? What if your healing is going to be so much more than a healing? Isn't that worth waiting for? Isn't that worth fighting for? Look at this beautiful scripture, Psalm 40. Verse 1 to 3 in the Passion Translation, it is beautiful. It says, I waited, and I waited, and I waited some more. Does anybody relate to this? I do. Patiently, knowing God would come through for me. So it wasn't waiting only. Can you see that? It was waiting upon the Lord. There was patience, but there was faith. Knowing God would come through for me. So faith and patience, beautiful combination. You know, if we only have faith but not patience, we will get discouraged. If we only have patience but not faith, we're not going to step out. We're not going to trust. Faith and patience, beautiful combination. Then at last, he bent down, this is God, and listened to my cry. He stooped down to lift me out of danger from the desolate pit I was in, out of the muddy mess I'd fallen into. Now he's lifted me up into a firm, secure place. This is now after I've waited and waited and waited some more. Out of the muddy mess, now he's lifted me up into a firm, secure place. He steadied me while I walk along his ascending path. A new song, listen to this. A new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about how he breaks through for me. Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until, listen to this, until everyone hears how God has set me free. So this waiting was not in vain, Because everyone hears how God has set me free. Many will see his miracles and they will stand in awe of God and fall in love with him. What if we are waiting for something greater? What if? So I want to ask Lynn just to share a little bit of her story. You've heard Steve, her husband, speak. Just want to ask Lynn, let's just give her a hand. Thanks, Lynn.
Okay, I've been in a long waiting period. I was stuck there for many, many years. When we first got married, I've been married to my amazing husband for nearly 28 years, and we've been blessed with three beautiful children, and in the beginning of our marriage, was great. It was really amazing. We served God. We were on a very high mountain with the Lord. And slowly but surely, life started getting to us. I don't know who can relate to that. We found ourselves in situations that were really, really dark. Really dark pit. In our marriage, with our children, in our spiritual walk, I felt like we had come to a dead end. So the waiting period began, and it felt like it was never going to end. It felt like I didn't know how to get out. I knew God, I'd pray, I'd seek his face, I'd plead, I'd fast, I'd cry to him, but the waiting period continued and continued. We had many stresses with Steve's business. We were in a church that wasn't fulfilling us spiritually, that wasn't growing us. In this waiting period, and after a lot of disappointment in our marriage, I became ill. I got cancer, the thing that everybody dreads. I went through a very dark period while I was ill, going through chemotherapy, radiation. I was so tired and so ill, I couldn't be a mother to my children. I couldn't be a wife to my husband. And this happened when our son was in his teenage years. And because of this, he started giving us very big problems. And I felt like I was in a whirlpool and I couldn't get out. But you know, God wants us to grow in that waiting period. He wants us to grow and he doesn't want us to give up waiting. And I remember the day so clearly. A very good friend of mine told me about Shofar Church. And we'd been in our church for about 14 years. We'd made very good friends there. And we didn't feel that we could move. But in my spirit, I just felt this is what I needed to do. And I know that your husband is supposed to be your spiritual leader. But I just really felt God saying, let's go and visit Shofar. And I'll never forget the day we decided to go together. It was in October 2017. And the day we walked into Shofar, I felt like I'd walked into a living room. A comfortable, beautiful living room. A comfortable place where I just felt the Holy Spirit. Where I saw the Holy Spirit move, where I saw incredible healings, where I saw Jesus, and I knew that I'd come home. My husband still needed to be convinced. He said, okay, we'll go to Shofar in the morning and we'll go to the other church in the evening. Well, that never ever happened. We just continued to go to Shofar in the morning, and that was amazing. And then last year, I've just had this incredible desire in my heart that I wanted to serve Jesus together with Steve. And he was so focused on his job, on his career, on his business, like most men are, and most men should be, that we'd go to church and come home and nothing happened. It was the same. And in October last year, or November, Andre mentioned that you could sign up for a mission. And in my head, I thought, wow, I don't know how we're going to do this because Steve is so busy, he's got no time to go to a mission, let alone a whole week at a mission. And every day and every night, he'll never be able to do that. But we signed up, and God showed up. And that was the amazing turning point in our marriage, in our lives. And that is where Sonika had prayed for me in an encounter, a heart encounter at our church. And she'd prayed that God would use us as a team. And after she'd prayed that prayer, I thought, I don't know how God's going to do this. It's going to be a miracle. But I saw the miracle happen. And we signed up, and we went to the mission. My husband managed to come home at 5:30 or 5 o'clock every night. And it was just awesome how we saw God move together as a team and how he used us at the mission. And I just want to end off by saying that God allows in his wisdom what he could have prevented in his power. God allowed that waiting period in my life, in our lives, and in our marriage so that we can now experience his power. And God showed me too that the latter years are going to be better than the former years. So if you are trusting, and if you're in the waiting period, don't give up.
Amen. The miracle is in the journey. The miracle is not in the moment, it's in the journey. And I actually got that from a lady who was paralyzed for 22 years. And I would love to play you a testimony. It's one of the most powerful healing testimonies I've ever heard. So if we can just share that video, please.
There's a whole lot that I don't recall specifically, but I know this. The car vehicle was upside down and they were trying to get me out, and there was music playing in my head.
On a snowy Christmas day in 1987, Dahlia Knox was in a car with her sister and brother-in-law when they were hit by a drunk driver.
I was semi-conscious, then I went unconscious, and so then I woke up in the hospital.
Although the others escaped with minor injuries, the crash left Dahlia paralyzed from the waist down. Doctors told her she would likely be confined to a wheelchair the rest of her life.
From there on, I went through, like, what do I do from here now? Where do I go from here?
Dahlia was determined to live her life. An accomplished gospel singer, she continued her work in music ministry, but her life was hard.
I would continue to go and sing, and I would push myself, you know, into the restroom or the shower, whatever. And then I would drag myself into the car, and I would push myself. It was one of those things where you had to drag yourself. You had to push yourself.
Dahlia believed God would heal her as people prayed constantly for her. But after a decade passed with no changes, she started to lose hope.
I didn't like going to altar calls because every time I would go somewhere, the service would change to a healing service, and somebody would try to pull me out of the chair, and I've been plopped, dropped, flopped, and flipped, and, you know, to the point where I was like, I just can't go through that anymore.
While attending a Christian conference, she was captivated by one of the speakers, Bishop Levy Knox.
It was so amazing because he didn't see the wheelchair. He saw beyond the wheelchair.
He later became her husband and a major source of inspiration for Dahlia.
I remember him taking me in front of the mirror at home and holding me up and just say, I want you to see yourself standing. He would take me and dance with me, and just, you know, as my legs would dangle, he would take me around. And he was one that always continuously tried to put hope and faith in me as to think beyond that, even though at times I was frustrated about it.
By 2010, Dahlia had been in a wheelchair for over 22 years. In August, she and her husband attended a conference hosted by evangelist Nathan Morris.
The evangelist went up and he started speaking on healing and all that. Had I known it was a healing service, I have to be honest, I would have never gone.
She was at the front of the church with her husband when Pastor Morris started praying for her.
Here I am confined for 22 and a half years in this wheelchair. And for the first time in the longest time, I find myself that something could possibly really be happening. I said, I'm feeling something in my legs.
The power of God is all over this sister right now. She not only has no feelings, but she can feel our hands on her, legs. And she's had no
feelings. I had to get to the heart of it. And the heart of it was, are you willing to risk your pride and take a step of faith, even if you fall?
With the assistance of her husband, Dahlia slowly rose. She later stumbled and sat back down, fighting to block out the doubts flooding her mind.
I remember the words that he prayed were, let faith arise in this woman of God. In Hebrews 11, faith is in the present, in the now. It's standing between two present terms. Now, faith is. And I sat there and a righteous indignation came in me. A righteous anger came in me. I just said to them, just worship, just worship, just worship, because I wanted to drown everything that was going out. I just worship, just right, worship, worship, worship.
Then her husband and Pastor Morris helped her back on her feet. She took a few steps on her own. Then, as the congregation sang and prayed, Dahlia started walking around the church.
Paraplegic will tell you that you can move on your hips. And so I thought, was I moving on my hips? I just started moving my knees up and down. And I started bouncing on my knees. It was like the awakening. This is really happening.
You begin to take those steps and begin to walk. It was like the word that had already been spoken, beholding the word, hearing the word, and now the manifestation of the promises of God was being fulfilled right before our eyes. It was phenomenal. It was life-changing for us.
Over the following week, she says God began to strengthen her legs. 3 weeks later, she walked in front of her own congregation for the first time. Today, Dahlia leads worship at Living Word Christian Church in Mobile, where her husband is the pastor. She also dances with him every chance she gets.
The miracle is the journey. It's not the moment. It's the journey of recognizing who God is. If He would have never healed me, I would still be pushing through to get into His faith. about the healing. It's about the journey of knowing that God is there for us.
Okay. Powerful. Yeah. I'm sorry, the sound and the pictures that weren't together, but if you wanna watch this again, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. You know, she trusted God for 10 years, for a decade, for healing, and then she lost hope. And then God provided this man who was a speaker at a conference. He looked right through her wheelchair and just loved her for who she was, and then he started believing. He would dance with her when she still couldn't walk. He would just speak faith, and she said she lost hope. She avoided healing conferences. Because after 10 years, she couldn't believe anymore. And how faithful is God? 22 years. It's a long time. But there was an appointed time, and what she says is the miracle is in the journey. And that is so true. And that's what we have experienced. If we can push in to see God's face and to love Him, you know, there's two beautiful things that can happen when we wait upon God. We can discover the joy of loving the promise giver more than the promise itself. This is huge. And we can develop a compassion for those people who are also battling with long situations that's not changing. A kindness, a compassion. You know, I can't relate to somebody who's in a wheelchair. I would never know how it feels. But I can relate to somebody not sleeping because I know how it feels. I can relate to somebody with a skin disease. I can relate to somebody trusting for a child. Because God has created in me a compassion, a kindness, you know, that when I pray for them, I feel their pain and I feel and I understand. So how do we wait well? Just three very practical things. How do we wait well if we trust in God? Do not compare. Your story is different. Your story is unique. God has a unique call upon your life. You know, I remember about 4 years ago, I heard about a couple that's pregnant, and by the grace of God, 99.9% I'm excited when I hear somebody's pregnant. But that one moment, it was really difficult for me, and we were on holiday, and I went for a walk. I said, God, we need to talk. And, you know, God challenged me with this one question. He said, Sonika, do you want to swap with them? Do you want to trade your life for their lives? And in that moment, God showed me how blessed I was. How blessed I am that even though we're trusting God for a child, I just realized, no, God, I don't want to swap. I don't want their lives. And God just opened my eyes for their challenges and what they're going through. And God said to me, Sonika, do not compare. You know, Lisa Bevere says, comparison is a thief of joy. Isn't that so true? The moment we start comparing, you know, even when it comes to healing, when it comes to God, when it comes to our journey, the moment we compare, we lose our joy. Because there will always be somebody in your perspective that is more blessed, that has received a miracle earlier than you, or that has waited for a less period of time. Do not compare while you're waiting. Do not compare. Make a list of things that you can do now that you can't do when your waiting season comes to an end. You know, it's just very practical. When you're single, you can eat what you want when you want it. You can go to bed when you want. You can spend your holiday the way you want. You can spend your money the way you want. I remember this has got nothing to do with the healing or Holy Spirit, but before I got married, I spent very little money on food. I would spend money on things I can see and I can touch. And when I got married, it was this huge shock to my system that now we're going to spend this much money on food. So, girls, when you're single, or guys, you can spend your money the way you want. It will change when you get married. And then you can't feel sorry for yourself. Then you're married. You must embrace that. Make a list of things you can do now that you can't do when your season comes to an end. If you're waiting for a child, you can sleep through the night. All the moms will know what I'm talking about. You can sleep through the night. You have more time. You have more money. You can travel. You know, I would not have been here this weekend if I had a small baby. And I must remind myself of these things. Otherwise, I will get oppressed. I must make a list of things I can do now that I would not be able to do when my waiting season comes to an end. What if you're waiting for healing? You have the opportunity to praise God from a position of weakness, from a position of vulnerability. You can praise Him in the storm. The moment you receive your healing and your storm is past, you don't have that beautiful opportunity to praise Him from that position of vulnerability. You also have the opportunity to encounter God as your healer. If you are not sick, you will never know God as your healer. If you never need finances, if you never need God's provision, you will never encounter Him as your provider. So if we are in a position where we feel vulnerable, where we feel weak, where we need God, we can encounter a part of His character that we would have never been able to encounter in any other way. So if you're waiting for healing, you can encounter God in a beautiful way as your healer. And you can develop a passion and a heart and a kindness and a compassion for those with the same condition or for people who are battling. It changes us. It does something. And even though sickness is not of the Lord, I'm just convinced, you know, I've listened to Andre so many times. He's convinced me, okay, based on scripture, I'm convinced that it's God's will for us to walk in healing. To be healed. I'm convinced, as much as I'm convinced that it's His desire for all men to be saved and to come to salvation, to come to the knowledge of the truth, as much as that is His will, in the same way it's His will for our bodies to for us to walk in healing. So it's not God, but in those seasons He can do something really amazing. If we, instead of wait upon Him, it's beautiful. Then just one last thing, and then we're gonna pray for more people. We must learn to trust Him in the mystery. We must learn to trust Him in the mystery. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, also a well-known scripture that says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours." I don't know how many of you are aware of Bill Johnson, senior pastor at Bethel. His son, his eldest son, Eric Johnson, is 85 to 90% deaf in both ears. And the irony is of the situation is one of the most common miracles that they see in their church and in meetings is the healing of deafness. So how do you explain this? Eric still can't hear. He's in his early 40s now. He can't hear without the help of a hearing aid. They pray for hundreds of people who are deaf, and they receive their hearing. His own son has prayed. Eric has prayed for many people. It's beautiful if you're going to read up on that. He's prayed for many people, and they can hear. He still can't hear. And they have decided to trust God in the mystery. They've made up their minds that God is good. They've made up their minds that God is faithful. And somehow in this thing, there's a mystery that they can't explain. And I want to read you a quote by Bill Johnson that says, "If I understand all that is going on in my Christian life, I have an inferior Christian life. The walk of faith is to live according to the revelation we have received." So one of the revelations maybe for you this weekend is that it's God's will to heal. You know, that we're not going to pray, "God, if it's your will, please." You know, we're going to make up our minds that this is God's will, and we're going to pray by faith. You know, otherwise we'll never pray by faith. So we live according to the revelation we have received, but in the midst of mysteries we can't explain. This is powerful. The walk of faith is to live according to the revelation we have received in the midst of mysteries that we can't explain. You know, in my life, I started battling with back pain and hip pain after my son was born. He's now 10. So for the last 10 years, I'm battling. And I'm kind of managing it with stretches and pain tablets from time to time. Sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's really not okay. One of the most common miracles in our church is the healing of backs. We've had two significant healings with people battling for the one. Yeah, Andre will maybe share those stories, but two significant healings in the last 2 months of back pain. Andre's prayed for me multiple times. and nothing has changed. He has prayed for so many people and their backs were healed. I prayed for people and their backs were healed. And how do I deal with this? How do I deal with this? I trust God in the mystery. If I am going to look at my back and look at other people's backs getting healed and mine not, if I base my faith or my trust or my belief system on that, my life is going to fall apart. Sometimes there's a mystery. We can't always explain that. But until we hit that mystery, we can trust that today is the day. Today is your opportunity. But if we somehow along the line encounter that mystery, we're going to trust him in the mystery. Because I've had my 26 years with my skin and God has shown himself strong to me. He has come through for me. He can do the same for you today or tomorrow or next week. So we don't stop believing, but we trust him in the mystery that God is faithful even when we don't understand. You know, like Andre says, the ABCD, we must be anchored in who God is. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he will change his mind. He's God. He's faithful. He's good. He loves you. He's for you, not against you. You're not just waiting. You're waiting upon God. Almighty God, who knows your deepest desires, he knows your deepest concerns, your emotions, he's in your boat. You're not just waiting, you're waiting upon the Lord. One last scripture, Psalm 27. I'm going to read it and then I want us to read it together. It says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is not a passive waiting. This is not maybe one day, God, if you will, perhaps, you know, if you are in a good mood, if I have done my homework and read my Bible. It is, God, I know who you are. I know that you love me. I know why you have died. I know what it means to. I know that the price that you have paid is not a small price. It covers everything, every sickness, every sin, every insecurity, everything I've ever battled with or will battle with. You've covered that. You've paid for that. So let's just read this together. Maybe you guys can stand with me. Let's just read this together. Okay, let's just read this. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Just take your seats for a moment. This is one of the biggest things that kills our faith. Is like, how can I pray for somebody else if I'm battling with something? It's irrelevant if you're battling with someone. It's about who is Jesus. He is the healer. He is the savior. He is the deliverer. And he is faithful. You know, and I actually love it. I love it that we've had so many people healed, but we're still trusting God for these things. And it actually strengthens your faith. It brings a reality to your faith compared to this oppervlakkige who Jesus heals. You know, it's like, no, it's real. We know he heals, and yet we are trusting. You know, so we want to encourage you to be anchored in who he is and to step out. So we had the word, end of 2012, there's an outpouring of healing coming. And then we went to India. I shared last night, and I was terrified because of all the demons in India, not knowing if Jesus is going to work there. And then we had this one meeting. So I just heard the Lord say we must pray for the sick. So I just told all the pastors, we want to pray for the sick. I didn't tell them that we know squat. The people might die. We didn't tell them that. We're just like, we're going to step out. I just told them we want to pray for sick people. I've heard the prophetic word. And so I'm going to step out. And the same, like, I was so blessed even last night, the prophetic word that I felt for you guys. Because I went home and I realized, yes, that's where you start. Get a word. And you stand upon the word. And the prophetic word can be scripture. But you just feel God is speaking to you. This is for you. For now. You stand upon that word and then you start stepping out. And so the one evening we had this meeting, we had four people healed the previous year. And I preached my heart out, Jesus heals. And it's India, there's a lot of people. But it was a little meeting. And people standing out into the streets. And they all want to see what's happening. And so they lined up in front of our team. And the first guy that came to me was a wheelchair guy. Jesus, where's the headache people? Please. I can't start with a wheelchair guy. So I prayed for the wheelchair guy. Nothing happened. And I'm like, Jesus, this is going to be the longest night of my life. The second one we prayed for was a young boy, about 8 years old. And he was mute. He hasn't spoken in his life. Mom was standing next to him, and he had no emotions. His eyes were dark. And I went onto my knees, and I looked into his face, and I just saw my own son. You know, and my heart just broke for this boy. And I just said, Jesus, if you were here, he would speak. But the compassion of Christ just struck me. And I looked into those eyes and I just rebuked the devil and I just commanded healing. And then he spoke. He said, Jesus. He said, hallelujah. His whole complexion, his eyes changed. He started to smile. The mom started to celebrate for the first time in his life. He started to speak. My life was forever changed. In that meeting, God just broke out. I think at least 40 people were healed. The power of God, fire on people's bodies, backs healed, knees healed, deafness gone. God broke out. I was crying. I was like, so I'm not crazy. Because in the journey, you feel like you're nuts. Because you've never seen it. But you saying he heals. and it happened, you know, and that evening we went back to our place and I was just like, God, this is amazing. Like God was in the house. People were just like, you know, no one was touching their feet, but there was someone touching their feet. It's like angels in the house. God was in the house. Lives were being rocked and beyond their lives being changed, we were changed. Because for the first time in our lives, we saw God moving. And I went home and I was like, God, this is amazing. What do you have planned for us? In terms of the gifts of the Spirit, God, what do you have for us? And I just heard the voice of God saying so clearly, everything. Everything. And since 2013, I personally have moved in every gift of the Holy Spirit. Every gift, because I have learned that when you have the Holy Spirit, you have access to all the gifts. Anything can happen at any moment. Any moment. Anything can happen. But you must just get filled with Him and step out, even if you look stupid, crazy, nuts. It changes everything when you see that God can move through you. Come on, say, this is for me. And you have the opportunity as a congregation to pursue God together. To give the leadership also license to step out and like, what, it didn't work today, but we're going to step out again. And for you guys to come and to say, hey, Richard, I have a word, I have this feeling. Can I? Yes, come on, let's do it. Step out. Make those opportunities. Have once a term a healing service and say, we're going to step out. We're not inviting any awesome people from outside because we are the awesome people in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to risk it. You need to step out. The Lord said to me, you will see more miracles if you pray for more people. It's as simple as that. You need to step out. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks about the gifts. And for me, the point of it all is basically same Spirit, same Spirit, same Spirit. If you have the Spirit of Christ, you have access to all the gifts. So just quickly, a few ways in how the Holy Spirit speaks. Sometimes it's just a whisper. even as Nastasha said, and also me, you don't, it's not a booming voice out of heaven. You are not like, I know this is God. It's rarely you know this is God. This is like, I feel this might be Jesus. And then you step out. So we had a service after our outreach in Cambridge. We had a Sunday morning service, and I wasn't preaching. We invited Pastor Niels from Wellington. And as we came there this morning, I just heard this gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit. God said to me, this morning, I'm going to heal backs. So at the end of a third song of worship, I stepped out and I said, God is going to heal backs this morning. I really feel God's going to heal backs. And we had this one guy, his name is Erlen. About 6 weeks before that moment, he picked up like 55 years old, he picked up a big log and he turned he snapped something in his back. 6 weeks of hell. Thousands of rands, chiropractor. He was really battling. And he said to his wife that Sunday morning, today God's going to heal me. And so I said, God's going to heal backs this morning. So he comes forward, and in front of everybody, I said, Erlen, today is your day. And so they prayed for him. And then the pain got worse. He sat through the service with more pain than ever. He couldn't sit. He didn't know where to sit and how to sit. It was a nightmare. And at the end of the service, we prayed for a bunch of people. The power of God came. People were falling over as the power of God were hitting them. And at the end of the service, I was praying again for somebody. And then I heard the gentle whisper again, pray for Erlen. So I went, I found him before he left. Erlen, let's pray again. Pitbull anointing. Let's do this again. I prayed for him. We prayed for him. And I felt like, man, he's been blaming himself. He's been speaking stuff over his life for 6 weeks. You idiot. You idiot. You shouldn't have picked up the thing. And other stuff like betrayal. He felt like he's betrayed God and a whole lot of things. We prayed into those things. And then we prayed healing. And then I said, Erlen, what are you feeling? And I looked at his face and I was already saying, okay, we'll pray again. Because his face didn't look happy. But then he was like, just like, I'm not feeling any pain. I don't want to move because I'm not feeling any pain. And then he started to move, and then he was completely healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then there was another lady there. Her name is Nikki Aronson. 40 years of back problems. 4 operations. Her spine has been fused. They've put in titanium pins. They've moved things from her hip to her back. She couldn't walk from the car to the front door of the church without stopping twice because of all the pain as she's walking. Power of God comes upon her. Healed. 40 years of pain. Walking like a machine now. No pain. Hallelujah. But all I had was this, I feel God's going to heal backs today. But why not come to church or any meeting, any home group, small group meeting? Just ask the Holy Spirit, God, what are you doing today? And then I'm going to step out. You know I'm wrong. I'm going to step out. I feel like a word for someone. I'm going to step out. I feel God is saying this to you. And you just say it. You know, sometimes you Steve's son that was healed. Alan came to one of our elders and he said, I've been feeling a heat on my leg for most of this day, like a heat on the top part of my leg coming down to the knee. And sometimes you have pain in your own body or you have heat on your own body. And it's like, this is not me. As I say to the guys this morning, as you get older, it gets more difficult to figure out, is this my own pain or not? But just to be available, say, God, I want to show me. And you have a sense, even like that lady shared, but she had the same pain on her head as they were praying for her mom. Sometimes you feel what other people feel. It's like Holy Spirit is revealing to you. So it's like a gentle whisper, a voice on the inside. We speak about this in the afternoon session. It's like God lives on the inside, so you have a whisper. Sometimes pain on your own body. Sometimes you feel like the one girl, she went to one of our ladies' retreats in Port Alfred, and she woke up this morning suicidal. She's like, what's wrong with me? And then she realized it's not her suicidal, it's somebody else's suicidal. And there was a woman that came from East London to Port Alfred, it was like an hour and a half's drive, and she came planning her suicide that weekend. She was that day planning to kill herself. And then this lady, Claire, stepped out and said, someone wants to commit suicide. And she came forward, committed her life to God, and she was set free that day. Amen. So sometimes you think you're going crazy. And it's not you. It's actually for somebody else. So emotions, a feeling on your body, a gentle whisper, often a vision like a mental picture. You close your eyes and you see something. And you learn over time it's the Holy Spirit imprinting this on your heart. Last story I want to share, and then I want us to pray. Oh, another way, actually, tongues. I am getting real human languages more and more when I pray in tongues. I've spoken in Spanish. I have quoted Hebrew Bible scriptures. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Made my day when I heard that. I'll share a bit about that. On our outreach now in Cambridge also community, God's giving me also words. So I was praying for some people in tongues, and one of our guys said, do you know you've been speaking in also? I said, vuleka, 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 vuleka. I'm just going, vuleka. I'm not even listening to what I'm saying, I'm just vuleka, vuleka. And vuleka means open up, open, open. So I was praying for people, I was saying, open, open. The other day we prayed also in our men's meeting, and I got this fascinating word. I went onto Google Translate. It's beautiful. Yes, I was typing in Google Translate, and the words I was saying was, the man turns. I was proclaiming repentance in Filipino. Yes. It's beautiful. God is alive. He's alive. You're praying in tongues, but you're speaking, you're prophesying. You are proclaiming the will and the word of God. And in this one meeting, I was praying in tongues, and I before our one meeting, I just got the word tandeka. 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 I'm like, Google Translate, here we go. And tandeka means beloved. I could speak to these beautiful people who are bound by poverty, and then God was saying to me, they are my beloved. And I sang a song of the love of God. You are my tandeka. And then there was a lady called tandeka as well. And God touched her. Changes the game. Even just praying in tongues is like, God, what are you doing? It's awesome. And it's for you. Come on, let's say it. This is for me. You see how impartation works is, it's like you have a river flowing. Impartation is someone else's river flows into yours. Increases. That's the fivefold ministry grace. There's a prophetic river. You have a mini prophetic river. And as you receive by faith, you say, God, I see there's something on this man or this woman's life. And I honor them. I don't worship people, but I honor the grace of God on their lives. And Lord, I say, I want the same, Lord. And I receive it by faith. And as you receive it by faith, that river comes and flows into yours. And you receive an upgrade in the Spirit. It is your shortcut in the kingdom of God. Amen. So everything that's on our lives can in a moment be imparted into your lives by childlike faith. We don't worship people, but we honor the Holy Spirit resting on people's lives. And we say, God, thank you. That's beautiful. I want some of that. Amen. Please stand with me. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for an impartation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to now have a time of prayer, so we're going to go to lunch. But this afternoon, we're going to focus on the prophetic. We're going to do activation. And then we're really going to pray for people who's going to clap in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, say it's going to clap. Clap in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm preaching myself happy. Amen. Just open your hands. Come on, as I said last night, God wants to pour out gifts into you, like a gift for each and every one of you. Come on, let's say it, there's more.
There's more.
Yes, God, we thank you, Lord, that there's faith in this house. I can feel it. There's expectation and there's hunger. Thank you, God, that we can be anchored in who you are. So, Father, right now we ask for an impartation of grace. Lord, that the grace upon our lives, rivers of life, would open up and flood into this church and the churches represented here. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, thank you for unlocking of faith, a hunger, a thirst, saying, God, I want that because I know you want to give it. You are not a poverty God. You're not a poor God. There are not limits on how much you can do. It's unlimited for the anybody's. So Father, right now, by your grace, God, we ask for an impartation, even as your word says, in the same spirit that was upon Moses was put on 70 others, and they prophesied. Thank you, God. That's Old Testament. New Testament is better. Thank you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, for a release of the gifts of the Spirit here right now. Lord, we ask for a release of prophecy, release of tongues, release of words of knowledge, release, God, of discernment of spirit. Lord, release of gifts of healings, release, God, of miracles and of signs and of wonders. In the name of Jesus, may every heart, every mind, every being catch fire in Jesus' name. May the heavenlies open over us in Jesus' name. Rivers of life will flow forth from our inner being if we would simply believe like a child. So God, right now we declare, we believe. This is for us. Come on, say it. We believe. Say it. This is for us. Come on, say it. I will not settle for anything less than the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ. Come on, say it. This day, I turn to my God, my loving Heavenly Father. And Lord, your word says, ask. So I ask. Bless us. Bless me so we can be blessings to this world. In Jesus' name, we receive by faith all the gifts of the Spirit, all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, receive it right now. By faith, let it just fall into your lap, fall into your heart. Let that fire be kindled within you right now. Let heaven come down. Let the kingdom of God come. Remove every lid on our thinking. Lord, may we receive our inheritance. Everything that Jesus walked in is ours. By faith in Jesus. Co-heirs with Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Every gift in the heavenly places is ours by faith. God, right now remove every lid over our thinking. Every limitation. Every victim mentality. We renounce it in Jesus' name. God, I declare it right now for grace. Grace that our greatest storms will lead to our greatest breakthroughs. Thank you, God, that we're going to tire the devil out. Because we will not lose our joy. We will not lose our faith. We will not give up or give in to the lies of the enemy. We know who our God is. You are faithful. You are powerful. You are with us. So God, right now, we release grace, empowerment from heaven. over every heart and every life. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for couples, for marriages, together to pursue the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Lord, we declare every story, every testimony is an invitation for the more, for more of that, for the same and more. I just really feel that God's going to raise up couples, partners in the kingdom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, let your kingdom come. We release that. We release healing into marriages. We release healing into hearts. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, as your word says in Isaiah 61, instead of shame, double honor. That thing that's been your thing that's been killing you, that thing that's been your shame, that is your ticket to glory. Double honor. Instead of shame, double honor. Instead of that thing that's been haunting you, instead of that, that is your ticket to glory. As you turn to Jesus, you say double honor. Come on, say double honor. Double honor is mine in Jesus' name. Instead of shame, double honor in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Let it be. So, Father, this day, this moment, we receive it. You are royalty. Some of us feel that we came from the wrong family, from the wrong side of the railroad track. I feel Jesus saying, I love the people from the wrong side. He loves to use the foolish, the small, the insignificant. If you feel insignificant, this is for you. Because Jesus will be glorified. Double honor is coming your way. Double. Come on, say double. Double honor is coming our way. In Jesus' name. Even I feel like even the worst moments of your life, your moments of death and destruction, God's going to turn it around for your greatest victory. Just turn your eyes to Jesus. Come on, say it. I'm no longer a victim. I'm a child of God. There are no limits on my life. God is with me. Pray this prayer of consecration and say, Father God, I give you license. I give you freedom to take me on a journey to unlock all that you have for me, for us. I surrender my heart and mind. Teach me to look away from the negatives and to look at you. To fix my eyes on you and to see your kingdom come. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, give Jesus praise in the house. Give him hallelujah. God, we by faith we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to encourage you. We can take a lunch break now. For just over 50 minutes, try and be back by 2. I want to encourage you to get our books. Both of the books help you on this journey of renewing your mind. And then God is holding best for last. Eh? This afternoon's going to rock. Amen. Come on, let's say it. This afternoon's going to rock. Amen. Go have some lunch. Bless you. See you at 2.